And I want you to recognize him when he speaks. And you will find out that to recognize the Antichrist when he speaks, you have to listen to what you say. See, I'm not asking you to recognize the Antichrist in others, because that won't help you. Although you may recognize him there, and he may say these things in others, that won't help you a lick. You have to listen to you to see, is this creature speaking in you without your knowledge? And the answer is going to be no. Amen. Daniel 7:25. And he shall speak words against the Most High. And all Christians will say, I would never speak against God. But that doesn't say he shall speak words against God. That says he shall speak words against the Most High, which means the person who's in authority. Which obviously begins with God, because all authority, all power is of God. This very careful, see, God is so smart. You see, if this said, and he shall speak great words against God, then all of you could say, oh, no, no. And be partially true, but you see, this says he speaks against the Most High. The Antichrist in you hates authority. Hates anyone or anything that has more authority than you do.
That's right.
Anything or anyone that has more of anything than you do.
Right.
So you see, we call it jealousy, and we call it a lot of nice things, and that's true. But in reality, it's the spirit of Antichrist, because he speaks words against the Most High. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Well, there one would think, well, that means it's God, because only God has saints. Well, you know what that word saints means? The sanctuary of the Most High. So you are the Most High in your body. You have dominion and power, so the saint of you is your body, the sanctuary. So he says he'll get inside of you and speak words against your authority and against everybody else's authority and wear out your body in the process. And that's why your body doesn't work right. See, the biggest indicator, the quickest indicator that the Antichrist is working in you is when you speak things against others' authority, others' position, and it wears you out.
Right.
See, if it wasn't that way, then 50 of you speaking against me every day would seem to me like I would wear out. But I thank God it's the other way around, isn't it?
Amen.
Why? Because I never go to you and offer anything unless you ask first.
Sure.
I respect totally your authority, even though you're stupid.
Amen.
I respect your right to be stupid. And only when you decide that you need help do I offer it to you. Then and only then, because I have no desire to speak words against the Most High. Now, the Most High can mean the most high, or the Most High that happens to be in the area. Now, right now, I think we'll all agree, just from a plain laws of physics, just from a plain sighting point of view, it is obvious who the Most High is in this room right now. That's why the Lord put me on this pedestal here and sat you down on top of that, just in case you had any illusions of grandeur. And by the way, there's three levels higher than you. Now, obviously, I don't live here. This is not my home, so I come down from here. But while I'm here, I'm three levels higher than you. I'm not the most high, but in relation to you, I'm most high right now. You don't like that, and that's why when you get home, you are the most low. And he shall speak words against the Most High. Well, first of all, you wouldn't want to believe that you speak against God or against any authority. You just don't want to believe that, but I'm going to prove to you that you do. This word speak is an interesting word. It just doesn't mean to utter words. It comes from a Hebrew word that tells you not only that you're speaking, but the kind of words that you speak. The minute you start speaking this way, it's the Antichrist. And this word speak means to speak mostly poetic words. Now, let's see if you have the Antichrist. Do you speak poetically? Do you take poetic license, because that's what the word speak means? Poetic means a total and complete disregard of strict fact or of conventional rules of form for artistic effect. See, a poet can do just about anything. See, sometimes when you hear songs, they really kind of, like, they go ooh, 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 and they have to drag out the ooh. Well, you don't say, when you say ooh, you don't say ooh, 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 ooh. See, but poetic license, because you got so many notes and there's only one ooh, you can ooh, 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 out it ended. That's fine. That's poetic license. It's for artistic effect.
Amen.
Now, let's see if you take poetic license. If you speak, if it's the Antichrist speaking in you. Do you speak and disregard facts for artistic effect? Well, I just might as well die. There's just no way. I just might as well die. That's just for artistic effect. I would bet you whatever you want. If I bought you $20 worth of cheap costume jewelry, put you in my van at midnight, took you down and dropped you off in the middle of Balboa Park, you would have a bowel movement right there. Why? If you might as well die. $20 worth of costume jewelry? You wouldn't last. You wouldn't last. You wouldn't make it to the tower. But for effect, you say, I might as well die. See, that's the Antichrist trying to threaten. It's for artistic effect. Now, you know how you started that. You know, remember you asked your mom if you could go here or there, or your dad, and they wouldn't let you go. And you, well, I might as well just die. My social life is over. My life is through. No, it wasn't. So you say, I might as well die. I've heard people for artistic effect say, my life is so miserable.
Amen.
And I look at them, I say, well, gosh, I see a nice apartment here and beautiful furniture, nice car, you got a job, your health is reasonably good, your life is miserable, would you rather die? I'll bet you if I'd hire and put out a contract and bring Bubba to your house with a double-barreled shotgun and stick it right between your eyes, I bet you wouldn't say that again. And Bubba is a psychotic. He'll do anything for money. And I've got money. I'll bet you wouldn't say that again, would you? Why? Because it was only for artistic effect. See, you're a liar. That's the Antichrist speaking words against the Most High. I'm really trying to do my best. That's true. You're very trying, extremely trying. I can't help it. See, these are all words of poetic license. You can help it. As a matter of fact, not only are you helping it, you are doing it. It couldn't do it without you. What do you mean you can't help it? I'd like to see that cigarette smoke itself. Oh, I can't help it. You bought it. You worked for it. You went and bought it. You ordered it. You opened the package. You stuck it in your mouth. You inhaled. You struck the match, and you took it all in and said, I can't help it. Well, who the hell did it then? What do they have, cigarettes now that ambush you at midnight? Self-starting cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
They creep up on you, and the minute you yawn, they jump in your mouth and clamp down on you, and then they put CPR on you, and you have to smoke them. I've never seen that kind of cigarette. What do you mean you can't help it? This one I like. I want to be used of God. Here we're talking about all the things you do wrong. You say, I want to be used of God. You are being used of God. You're used by your cigarettes, your nicotine, your alcohol, your drugs. Food uses you. Your emotions. You are used of God. See, I found out there's no such thing. Whatever you say, that's true. I want to be used of God. That's your problem. Not that you want to be used by God. It's who God is. And then this one I like. I'm getting better. See, we're talking. You called me to tell me there's something wrong you don't like, you can't handle, and you want to change. And when I tell you what the problem is, you say, you're getting better. Well, why'd you call me then? I'll tell you what you're getting better at. You're getting better at lying. That's what you're getting better at. So see, this is poetic license. This is words for effect. As a matter of fact, I see more poets on Wednesday evenings than I do. When we get to the prayer service, man, I hear poetry. Oh, yes, Lord, I want to be in subjection to my husband. Yes, ooh. I mean, we could set that sucker to music. The words are alive with the sound of music. Oh, thank you, Lord, for my wife. I love her very much. Ooh, ooh, ooh. But then during the week, that poor creature calls me and tells me how you treat her. What happened to ooh, 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 and the poetic license? Why, the walls were alive with the sounds of love. There was poetry everywhere. Oh, I pray that God will take this and God will take that. Why would God want that? You don't even want it, you say. So you see, all this poetry is the Antichrist saying, listen to what you said. Your heart's in the right place. No, it isn't. Your heart is not in the right place. But you take poetic license. And you think that because of intent, you can justify actions. And let me tell you something. If the intent was there, and the spirit was there, then the action would show the intent. But that's your problem. The action does show the intent. The problem is that you show intent with poetic license by completely disregarding the facts. You completely disregard the facts. And I'm telling you, that's not you. The Antichrist is doing your talking for you. And it's using poetic language. That's what that word means. Do you know that's the only time that word has that definition in the entire Bible? And yet the word speak appears many, many times. Many times. So it's telling you when that happens, it's the Antichrist doing the speaking. And he disregards all the facts. Why do you fight with me? What have I ever stolen from you? What have you ever lost? When have I ever given you advice or done something for you that was really for me? If you can think of a time, bear witness of the time, and if not, then why do you do that? Well, because you disregard the facts for effect. And you don't understand that when you do that, you speak poetically words. Now, this word, words, again, is very unique because it doesn't mean just syllables that comprise a prefix and a suffix that communicates meaning. Actually, this word words from the Hebrew means a commandment or a command. In other words, what this says, the Antichrist can command God, command the Most High, if he sits in the right place. So now it says when he speaks poetically, he's speaking commandments against you. When you disregard the facts, I don't remember that. I didn't say that. Did I say that? No, you didn't. See, I sit at home all day long and try to think of things to try to convince you that you said. And then when you call me, I try to convince you that you said that for God knows what reason. I have nothing better to do. That's all. I lead such a sheltered life. I can hardly wait till one of you intellectual giants calls me to see if I can convince you you said something you didn't say. Now, you didn't say it, and after we talk for 3 hours, then you say, oh. Well, if you never said it in the first place, then how could you remember it after 3 hours? You're trying. You're trying is right. You're trying to wear out the saints, aren't you? It says he speaks, commands against the Most High. Now, there's your conflict right there. A part of you speaking against a part of you. A part of you saying, I want to do that. And then a part of you later saying, I ain't going to do that. And then the part of you later saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I did. Well, if those eyes are the same person, how could the person that's sorry they did it be the same person that did it? It's impossible. See, you just refuse to separate the two. The person that's apologizing is not the one I'm having the problem with. It's the one that did it. But you see, you're so slick. When the Antichrist is in charge and you're getting ready to do it, I don't hear a word from you. You go do it. And then you say, we better call Reuben. And then the Antichrist says, I'm out to lunch. You talk to him. And then you come, and it's the other you. And that you says, oh, I'm so sorry. Well, that's not the problem. See, you're apologizing for something you didn't do. And then when I say, okay, let's go after that one that did it, that's when you get bent out of shape. And that's when you get poetic on me. Because you want to play the cycle where the one that does it outside of God. And then when that desire on your part to come and get advice and to confess and get it right, then the right side of you takes over and the right side comes and apologizes. And some dumb preacher like you've always been used to in the past says, oh, God will forgive you now. Well, God forgave you in the first place. It wasn't you that did it. If you see, the Antichrist hates God. He'll never say, I'm sorry. That's his problem. So you keep asking God to forgive the one who didn't do it. And he said, well, child, you're already forgiven. You're my child. It's that one that we have to go after. No, you cover that one by bringing your sanctimonious, pious, sickening, theological, perfunctory, bombastic, irrelevant, and immaterial verbosity and verbiage. And then you get upset at me because I see right through your stupid game. And you see, I would even be, my heart would be joyed if you were smart enough to know that's what you were doing. Yeah. At least we'd be halfway there because we'd both know what you're doing, but you're so dumb, you don't know. You really want to believe that you have it together. So now this Antichrist is commanding the Most High. He's speaking with authority by disregarding the facts. And why does that work? Because when you talk to you, you disregard the facts and you do everything for artistic effect. In other words, you're always the hero. the way you analyze things, you're always right. And if you're wrong, you didn't mean to. And you see, and that's exactly what makes that attractive to you, because there's mom again. So now, but this individual, because it disregards the facts, then tells you, well, he didn't say that. Well, your boss didn't say that. What's he talking about? You're such a good employee. What does he know? Well, that person that's talking to you, which is you, the other side of you, is disregarding all the facts, right? See, now this man, this employer that you have, he gets up in the morning and he says, now, what am I going to do today? Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to line up all my employees and give them all the wrong information, have them all do everything wrong, so then I can come back afterwards, have an attack when I see everything done wrong, argue with them and work overtime to try to fix it and explain it to them again. That's what I'm going to do. That's my job. I enjoy that. Why would your boss do that? But you see, when you look at it, you disregard all the facts. You do everything poetically. So as a result, when you do it that way, you speak those things. It wasn't my fault. I didn't hear. That's not what he said. And you, when you speak that and disregard the facts, you speak words, commandments against the Most High, which is the other side of you, which God gave the authority to run your life right. Now, once that side of you that has authority is smashed, you can only turn to emotions. And once you turn to emotions, the race is on to see which one of your emotions, which one of the glands, which one of your parts can secrete the most to overturn the other. There's a war going on inside of you. Understand this. Once one part of your body starts fighting the other, what they do is they war with each other by seeing if they can overwhelm each other within their particular functions. Because once the body, once the mind, once the soul is no longer in command, then it's a race. Then it's a race, and it's survival of the fittest. It's anarchy then. It's mob rule. And the one that ultimately rules is the one that can affect you the most. Ultimately, it'll be your heart. Your heart finally will win. You see, whenever you put the authority from here down, you're asking for trouble. You've got to keep the authority from here up. And the only way you can do that is do not disregard the facts. Do not close your mind. Don't get into this poetic thing. That's the way he's killing you. He speaks commandments. He speaks and directs you with authority. That's what words means, with authority. Now, you got to understand that, because when you say, God, I just can't do it, it becomes a reality. You just can't do it. And how many times have I begged you? I have pleaded with you. Don't say that. Well, the right side of you says, oh, okay, I see that. And then as soon as you're gone, the other side takes over and he says those things. He speaks and commands you with authority. Even though the one I'm speaking to right now is in agreement, that's not the one that's going to smoke later on. That's not the one that's going to get emotional later on. That's not the one that's going to pig out later on. So see, this Antichrist speaks poetically, disregards the facts, and as soon as you accept this fantasy, this poetry, they become commandments. In other words, whatever you believe becomes a commandment. Now, I know from a human nature point of view, it's a lot easier to believe you are wonderful. Ooh, 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 ooh. I know that. I'm not faulting you for that. I'm just trying to tell you, look what you get with the ooh, ooh, ooh. Man, there's a big price for that. Rather, you ought to be, boy, you ought to be so grateful that God takes the time to give us the truth. But instead, you want poetic words, and these words then become commandments with authority. And when you say, I can't help it, I'd rather die, I might as well die, I'm miserable, all of those things become a reality because you're speaking with authority.
Right.
The question is not, it's just a question of when and how, not if. Command not only means to direct with authority, but to require as due. Which means when you start that poetic stuff and saying, I can't help it, I'm miserable, it's never going to work, I don't know what to do, God doesn't love me, something's wrong, what am I going to do? That becomes a requirement in your life, and it becomes proper and becoming. That's what command means. It means to require something as being due, being proper, or being becoming. Now, you know, you say, well, God, I can't help it. It's due for me and it's proper. I'll never understand that. And I've been trying my best and I'm still alone. I still don't have enough money. Whatever your complaint is. Well, what are you doing? You are saying that's proper and that's becoming. But then when the other side of you starts talking, you say, oh, I hate this. I want my life to get better. See, I'm dealing with two people here. Command means to deserve and to get. So you see, if you ask, if the right side of you says, I deserve grace in Christ Jesus. I deserve blessings. God said he's going to bless me according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Will that be the Christ in you speaking? But the Antichrist says, you deserve what you got. Well, might as well not confess. God's mad at you. So you see, you get what you deserve then. Well, why do you get what you deserve? Because you want everybody else to get what they deserve. And no one can make a mistake of any kind around you, boy. You're right on them just like that. You want to make sure they get exactly what they deserve. Which then that opens up the door for you. Words also means the power to control or dominate by position. In other words, when the Antichrist can get you to say, I can't do it, then Christ, who gave you the position, what you are saying, the Christ, does not have the authority because he said he gave me power, and he did, and this power doesn't work because I can't do it. So what is happening? You've given your power and control to someone else by giving them the position. Because cigarettes can make you do it. Food makes you do it. Your anger makes you do it. I've seen you lie to cover all kinds of a multitude of things. How come that can make you do it? Well, it doesn't make me do it. Well, then how come you apologize later on and say, I couldn't help it? Why do you admit, I couldn't help it? I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway. So what have you done? You have taken the position where Christ said, you could do what I said, and you just get rid of that, and then you give it to Satan. You say, I can't help it. I can't help not doing wrong. And all I'm telling you is, why don't you say, I can't help not doing right? What's the difference? Position. If you can't help not doing wrong, but you can't help doing right, then wrong is stronger than right. Jesus didn't resurrect. He isn't the Son of God. We're not saved, and Satan is king. And everyone says, oh, no, no, no. See, now you're getting poetic on me again. You're disregarding the facts. You're the one that said you couldn't do right. I'm the one that said you could do right. I'm the one that said Christ said you could do it, and Christ means it, and you can do right. And you're the one that said you couldn't. So you see, you're disregarding the facts. Command or words means to overlook is from a height. It means to control from a higher position. So in order for Satan to get you out of your position, he has to get you to say words poetically that disregard the facts. You know what amazes me? You ask me questions, wake me up in the middle of the night, it doesn't matter. Ask me questions, and the minute I give you all the answer, and I give you the answer, you say, well, I knew that, and then we change the subject. Well, if you already knew that, why don't you ask me a question you don't know? Well, there seems to be no such thing. What it really is, you had a question you didn't know, and then when you found out the answer, didn't like the answer, then you turned Fonzie on me. I knew that. Well, if you knew that, why don't you do that? I don't know. See, so you know what to do, but you don't know that you're not doing it, and you don't know why you're not doing it, and you don't know why you asked me, and asked me, how can I do that? And then when I say, do it, and you say, no, I don't want to do it. Well, why not? Well, I don't know why I don't want to do it. Well, then, but you're the one that asked me, and yet you wanted to do it. I'm so confused. Vinny, what am I going to do with you? See, you disregard the facts. There's something wrong with you. Now he says, not only shall he speak these poetic words, but he speaks them against the Most High. Again, there's not a person in here say, I never would say anything against the Most High. Because you see, it isn't, when you say something against me, I'm the Most High here. All power, the powers that be are ordained of God. There is no power but of God. So if you speak against me as the spiritual authority, you're speaking against God. If you go to work and you speak against that authority, you're speaking against God. If you think and you say, I want to do that, and then you say, no, I can't, I'm not going to do that, you're speaking against authority. In all cases, you're speaking against God. And I'm going to show you how you do it. You say, well, I don't ever remember saying, I'm against God, and I don't want to do right. No, Satan's too slick for that. Here's how he does. He says, speak words against. The word against means to sidle off onto a siding. Well, you see, when you're speaking against the Most High, you have to sidle off. Now, sidle means to move sideways in a shy or stealthy manner. In other words, to do a siding. Sidle means a siding. Well, when you're speaking against God, you sidle off and you end up at a siding. A siding means a railway track connected with the main track by a switch and used for bypassing and sidetracking. Inevitably, you will change the subject. I will ask you a question, you'll answer something else. I'll ask you, say, well, did you say that about sister such and such? Well, you know, she was in a bad mood, and I didn't ask you what kind of mood she was in. I said, did you say that? And what do? You give me a siding. Choo-choo, and then here we go. We turn over, and boy, we lose your caboose there, don't we? You immediately look for a bypassing. And after listening to you do that for several minutes, sometimes what seems like hours and weeks, I can see that siding coming a mile away. And then you start and I say, wait a minute. And you say, well, you don't let me finish. You don't know what I'm going to say. Like hell I don't. If I ask you a specific question, you start answering something else, we're not communicating. I'm not interrupting. I'm telling you, you didn't hear me. I asked you this question. You're answering something else. You're changing the subject. You're speaking against the Most High. In other words, whenever someone changes the subject against on you, that's the Antichrist. Your children. How did you do in school today? Oh, Mommy, I love you. Did you hear did you see the cross signs and the red lights and the ding, ding, ding? That's a siding. They just pulled off your caboose, didn't they? You didn't ask them if they loved you. The minute you see that, you've got the Antichrist there. He cannot stand and will not answer directly. He speaks against. Now, don't misunderstand. He has no power to say to God, no. The only way he can deal with it, he changes the subject. He moves sideways in a stealthy manner by bypassing, by sidetracking. Sidetrack means to turn away from the main issue or the main course. by telling me and changing the subject and bringing to remembrance how wonderful you are now in other areas and how you've changed here and I did this and I did, maybe you did, and I thank God you did, but that's not the subject. The subject is at hand, and what you do is you're looking for a bypass. Well, what are you doing? That's the Antichrist in you speaking. And he's speaking against the Most High. And you do that at work every day of your life. Every single day of your life. Because you're looking for a bypass. And one day, you're going to need one. Big time, you're going to need one. You see, none of these things that you do spiritually do not ultimately have a physical manifestation. Now, you show me people always looking for a bypass spiritually and emotionally. I'll show you someone that's inevitable. They're going to need one physically. They're going to, and some people get triple and quadruple bypasses. And they say, well, why me? Why did God choose me? Well, see, if it was God, everybody would need a bypass because he's no respecter of persons. No, the fact of the matter is you're constantly changing the subject. And one of the best ways to change the subject is to stop talking. Amen. Go pout and get in your room, you little baby. Amen. Take a week's supply of Gerber's in there with you. Hope you choke on it. Grow up. Get a life, will you? But no. You need a sidetrack. And what it becomes ultimately is a bypass. And bypass means a way between two points that avoids the main way. Now, Jesus said, I am the way, or the main way. I am the way. And you want a way between the two points that avoids the main way. And people will say, well, I would never avoid Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Now think of how many times today you avoided the truth. And that's how many times you bypassed. Was it single, double, triple, quadruple bypass? How many bypasses do you do a day? One day, a doctor is going to take a chainsaw and open you up, and there's like spaghetti. He's going to be tying things. He's going to be bypassing all over the place. And isn't that what happens when your kidney stops functioning or your thyroid or something stops functioning? They cut it out, throw it away, and they're bypassed because it's diseased. So what do? A bypass. You lose a chopper and now a bypass. Now you gum your food. Well, you're into bypasses. You're into sidetracking. You're into sidling off. And I've told you before, the clearest indication of someone looking for a loosening of the caboose is the side glance. You know, immediately, well, Brother Reuben, she did this, and boy, I got pupils, I got eyeballs. And then I start saying, wait a minute, I know this, and right away you start. Pretty soon, you know, you're giving me this half side glance, and I know where you are. Or you give me one of these where I start seeing this way. All of a sudden, something fantastic is happening. You've discovered the molecular world at your feet. I look down there and say, what are they looking at? Well, I know what's happening. You're bypassing. You can't look me in the eye anymore. You just can't do it. And the first thing that happens before bypass is one of two things. Everything starts crunching up if you're a man. And if you're a woman, amazingly, that's the other one. And things start watering and the eyes get bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon you look like little Orphan Annie. And I don't understand, but with men, it's the other way around. Isn't it frightening how well I have you figured out?
Yes.
How could I do that if it wasn't the Lord? How many times have you gone to a doctor and they say, well, something's wrong, but I don't know what it is. We're just going to have to make tests and tests and tests until we stumble on it. Something's wrong. I tell you before you walk in. See, you're here for the examination. I haven't laid a glove on you, and I'm already telling you what's wrong with you. What doctor could you go to? And you got to admit, well, you don't have to, but inside, you know I'm telling you the truth. And how does this guy know this? You're trying to bypass again. It's not how I know it. Is it true? See, I'm not here to tell you how I found this out. I'm here to tell you this is the way it is, booby. And what do you think? How do you know that? You've just changed the subject, haven't you? And you're looking for a bypass. Now here's the crowning achievement, the crowning manifestation of speaking words against the Most High, the ultimate bypass. Bypass means to ignore by failing to consult. Now, I always know it's the Antichrist when you go do it first and then you ask me, how should I have done this, brother? What the hell difference does it make now? You done did it. Now, if you went to a restaurant and ate and then came to say, oh, should I eat this? And if I say no, what are you going to do? Throw it up there? It's too late. You done ate it. So you see, the ultimate bypass is to ignore by failing to consult. And I know why you fail to consult, because you already know the answer. You just don't want to hear it. You would rather play dumb. You would rather avoid the issue. So he speaks words against the Most High. Now, so that you will not think. See, Satan is not speaking against God. God has defeated him. Jesus has put him down to nothing. So Satan looks for the next Most High. And on this earth, who's the next Most High after God? His saints. So who's he speaking against? The Most High. You. But see, Satan wants you to believe that he's speaking against God, when in reality, everything he's saying is ruining your life. And that's why this word here, Most High, isn't Jehovah or Elohim. It's Most High, means the one in authority. The Most High comes from a Hebrew word that means the one who is supreme, the one that is above, the one that is higher, the one that is highest in rank, highest in power, and highest in authority. Now, you can apply this anywhere. You just find the place, any situation. I've told you before, a bunch of kids playing together, and one of them becomes the Most High. One becomes the leader. Now, the minute one of them becomes the leader, what becomes the task of the others? To overthrow the leader. That's right. The surest way to be attacked is to get authority. I know. I am surrounded by the Saddams. And they're after my Kuwait. Keep your hands off of my Kuwait. You're not going to overrun my Kuwait. This happens to me. It's the only one I have. I'm partial to it. I need it. I'm not done with it yet. Besides, you got one of your own. This is my Kuwait. So now this spirit is speaking words against the one who is highest in rank, highest in power, and highest in authority. Now understand how this operates. In order to get in, to speak through you, it has to go to the one who's highest in rank, highest in power, and highest in authority. So that first is the truth. The minute you start speaking poetically and disregard the truth, now Jesus is out. Who's the next highest then? You. Now it speaks against you, takes your authority, and now you can't do anything. Now once it got you in subjection, then it looks around and it looks at your employer, co-workers, anyone that has more authority, more rank, and more power than you. Becomes a deadly enemy. You cannot get along with that spirit. The spirit in your children are constantly testing and trying to get the authority and the power. Now, I know they have no way because they're not of legal age yet not to say yes to it themselves. That's not the children's problem. It's not, problem isn't that they say yes to it. They have, their word is not legally binding yet. Where their problem starts is when you say yes to it. So now they go after the one highest in rank, power, and authority. I wish I could tell you it stops there, but it doesn't. You know what else it speaks against, what the Most High is? The one who's highest in quality, highest in achievement, and highest in performance. So it goes after all six of those things. Highest in rank, highest in power, highest in authority, highest in quality, highest in achievement, and highest in performance. Now I'm going to prove to you why you are so miserable in your life. The minute you see something, someone who's higher in rank, they become your enemy. Rank means a relative position used to classify persons or things. There's always a rank in everything. And you look at that, and anybody above you becomes your mortal enemy. The next thing it looks at is anybody that has more power, higher in power than they are. Power means the ability to do, act, or produce. There's any number of people here that can do things that I can't do. You have more ability to do certain things than I do. So what I do is I allow you to do those things for me. Just go look at the machine out there and you'll see example after example after example of my speaking for the Most High. But you see, your problem is that anybody that has the ability to do or act or produce something that you can't, rather than take advantage of that for you, you go against it. You hate them because they can do something you can't do. Yet, you have such a desire to do for them what they can't do for themselves. You almost have it. You're willing, ready, and able to do. But let me tell you something. When you're not willing to accept that someone else has more authority, more power, and more ability to do something for you, I'll tell you why you're doing it. Self-basting. You're addicted to gravy. You're a graveaholic. You're not doing it for the right reasons. It gives you such a sense of power to say, I can do this and you can't. I say, yes, you can. And as soon as you're done, I'm going to enjoy it. You're not. And then I offer you this. See, God blesses me just because I'm willing to. I don't have to. But see, you're so twisted in your mind. Okay. Don't bother me any. I'll enjoy what you did for me. Thank you very much, Lord. Dumbo here doesn't want me to do anything for him. That's okay, son. I'll pay you just like if you did anyway. Well, that's a job with no work. You've been looking for all your life, isn't it? It's against those that are higher in power. Power means special authority, special ability assigned to a special person. See, look again at the body. These have special powers, special abilities. My hands have powers and abilities assigned to it by God. And no other part of my body can do what these hands can do. Amen. Now, my feet also. Huh? Well, you have no problem then with the special abilities, special functions, and special powers assigned to specific parts of your body. But you see, when you go against it, you say, I don't like her. She sings and I can't. Or I don't like him. What have you said? You said, look, I don't want special people in the body of Christ to have special powers assigned just to them. I don't like that. I don't want it to be that way. Well, then your body hears that and says, what are we going to do? The boss doesn't want special authority and special ability assigned to anybody specifically. And the thyroid says, oh, God, I can't thigh now. She doesn't want me, or he doesn't want me to have the special ability. And your hands say, oh, what are we going to do? See, so as a result, you become a blob of nothing. Nothing works right. Why? Because you have ordained in your infinite stupidity that the body of Christ should not have its specific functions in which we all work together for our common good. You're totally against that. You're the lone wolf. You're Squiggy's best buddy. But you don't understand. You're speaking commandments. And those commandments don't stop at the body of Christ. They stop ultimately and manifest in you. And then parts of your body that are ordained to have specific duties, specific talents and abilities, one day a man in a white coat's going to tell you that part of your body that's supposed to do this isn't doing it anymore. Well, what's wrong, Doc? I don't know. What are we going to do about it? I don't know. We'll give you some drugs and we'll give you more tests. And more tests. And more tests. And if all else fails, we'll cut it out. Whew. That you pay for.
Yeah.
Well, you'll even go out and buy insurance policies to make sure that there's plenty of money to pay these people to do that. And you totally disregard what's absolutely free to you. And now you have totally obscured all of the intricacies and functions of your own body. And don't lie and don't sit there and say that you don't get upset because someone does something better than you do. But you have no problem in those areas where you do something better than they do. See how you confuse your body? I'm telling you that every sickness, every disease, everything that's wrong in your life begins in how you deal with the Word of God, how you deal with things spiritually. I have every confidence in the world that I can sit with any doctor on the face of this planet, talk about any disease. They can give me all their terms, but after they do all that, I can tell them what caused it, and I can tell them what to do about it. I can't tell them what drugs to use, or how to cut it out, and how to open you up with a chainsaw, and how to do this, and suck your blood out, and suck this out, and cut that out, and put that in. And they'll take out a perfectly good heart and put some nuts and bolts in there, an artificial heart. Instead of curing the one God, say, well, we'll give him an artificial kidney. Well, you just come to the hospital every now and then. We'll do some dialysis on you. We'll hook you to this big machine over here. That's a big kidney machine. And after a while, they start saying, well, I'd rather die than go there. Well, that's your problem. You didn't like it when it's inside of you. You don't even like it now.
Yeah.
See how this thing always speaks against you. So now you're against everything that has authority, everything that has power. And then you look for those that are higher than you in authority. Authority means the right to give commands and enforce obedience. You hate that. Because, see, you give commands and nobody listens, not even you. You get to the corner, you're not paying attention to me. I go over there and I say, get over there, and they go. Why? I'll tell you why they don't listen to you. Because you don't listen to you. Children hate your guts. You're asking them to take the authority and the responsibility that belongs to you. You don't recognize authority and you punish them because they can't. And I wish I could stop there, but there's three more things and then I'll quit. You also speak against those that are highest in quality. Quality means excellence and superiority. But you know what quality also means? And this is a sickness of it. quality means the affirmative or negative character of something. See, so quality doesn't mean something good, or it can mean either one. Quality is the nature, the characteristic of something. And if it's positive, if it's an affirmative, oh, she's always got to be in the middle of everything. She's always volunteering for everything. Oh, boy, she makes me mad. Boy, what a busybody. If anybody ever asks, there she is, jumping in the middle all the time. Okay. And then they turn to someone else. She never participates. She never says yes. You can't get anything out of her. Oh, wait a minute here. You hate this one for the exact opposite reasons of the fact that you hate that one. What else is there except yes or no? Positive or negative? Affirmative or negative? There is nothing else. Which means everybody's got to be one of the two. So what does that mean? You hate everybody. Mikey. You hate everybody. Why? Because Jesus said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and you hate you. And then you accuse me of doing to you what you're doing to you. I'm the only one that loves you. I'm the only sane person in this room. You know that? So you go against those that are highest in quality. You also speak against those that are highest in achievement. Achievement means to succeed in doing something by skill, by work, and by courage. And that's why you don't achieve. See, you're so hung up on your skill. There's a lot of skill in this room, you know it? All of you like your skill. Not many of you like to work. But even that, there's people in this room that have skills and like to work at their skills. They ain't got no courage. They can't stick with it and trust God to know, I know this is going to work out. You crack, you crumble somewhere in the middle. Oh, you got the skill. And you got the work. You're willing to work. Yeah, no, got no courage. And why don't you? Why are you against those that are achieving? Because you're not. That's why they're higher in achievement than you do. And you look at it and you say, well, I got just as much skill and I work just as hard as they do. Yeah, that's 2 out of 3. But you see, if you don't get all three, you're not, close is only good in horseshoes. And hand grenades, yeah. So you're against, you speak against those that are highest in achievement. Why? Because it exposes you. Because you know God's no respecter of persons, so if they can achieve it, why can't you? God gave you skill. God gave you a ministry. God gave you an opportunity. God gave you everything He gave everybody else. And finally, you are against those that are highest in performance. Performance means functioning with regard to effectiveness. See, you think performance is just functioning. Oh, I work so hard, I do this, I'm always doing. Performance means to function, that's half of it, but with effectiveness. And there are people sitting in this room that have such a desire to complicate. Let's not do this thing simple. Because why? Well, it would be effective if we did it simple. So they don't want to function with regard to effectiveness. And then finally, performance means a formal exhibition before an audience. Isn't it amazing that if you're doing something and you have an audience, it's a simple thing. And you're by yourself and you say, okay, I've got to take this paper and fold it up and put it up here. And just without even thinking, you do that. No audience. But see, now you've got people around you. And you have to believe that you're so wonderful and magnificent. So what was a simple thing by yourself, now that you have an audience, you approach this thing and you say, I wonder what the quality of the papyrus that went into the making of that paper. Will it stand the stress of my pulling it out without lifting up the right leaf of yon Bible? Would I be more effective in folding it from the top sheet down or from the bottom sheet up? Having done that, would I be smarter to fold it in half from the top down or from the bottom up? And then, should it be perpendicular or horizontal? Should I put it in the back of the Bible? Well, let's see now. When I open up this Bible again, I might be sitting down, so therefore it would be best if I... Just complicated. People say, oh, I didn't know it was so hard to put paper in there. You're just performing. That's all you're doing. Isn't it amazing when you're all by yourself? Is dinner ready?
Amen.
Boy, you don't make a production out of it then, do you? But the minute you have an audience, oh, you want me to do that? Well, gosh, I've been working on. And you just come up with all kinds of reasons to complicate it and to make it and all and this and that and performance. Formal exhibition. Now let me tell you where this leads you, and I'm quitting. For sure. You speak words against the Most High, which is your authority, your ability, your performance, or those of the people around you. And here's what you inherit. You needn't turn there. I'm just going to read it to you. Romans 13, 1 and 2. Keep this in your mind. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Listen to this one. Whosoever, therefore, resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, why is your life damned? Why is your job damned? Why is your bank account damned? Why is your business damned? Because you resist the powers that be, beginning with you, by speaking against the Most High. And then, and everybody around you, you go after anybody that God has had the audacity to give a skill, an ability, a talent, a ministry, a place in this world without your permission. And then to have the filthy nerve, not only to give that person that position, but to expect you to depend on that person for that ability from God, for that blessing from God through that person? Well, doesn't God realize who I am? Yes, he does. That's why he gave you me. That's exactly why. See, I have no problem with that. See, God gave me people, you men, you people sitting, he gave me you because I'm a klutz mechanically. I can't do that stuff. But boy, nothing doesn't function for me because I'm smart enough to thank God for every one of you. Now think of this. Your cars work. Your TV sets work. The rest of your toys all work. Whenever there's something to be fixed, you take it to someone and pay for it to be fixed. You take it to mechanics. You take it to somebody in the church. You take it to somebody that knows. That's why they all work. Now let's look at your body, your marriage, and your children. None of them work right, do they? Why? Because you don't take it to the person that God gave you to take care of it. That's why. You resist the powers. You speak against the Most High. And in whatever area you do that, your life doesn't work. And then you take that pitiful thing you call a body to some doctor that doesn't even know how to spell Jesus. And you sit there spellbound by what he tells you, thinking, I have found the answer. No, you haven't. You just found a bypass. That doctor's a bypass for the truth. He's a bypass for Jesus Christ. He's a bypass to do right. And they're going to bypass. If you keep listening to them, they're going to cut it out and bypass it. And then when they cut that out, they'll have to bypass something else. And then after that, all you'll be is a bypass. And when there's nothing left to bypass, then there's nothing. See, it can't be a bypass unless it's bypassing something.
Yeah.
And after everything is out, then you ain't got no more bypass. So then it's just by. You're gone. You're dead. Understand how simple this works. And God says, if you don't recognize this spirit in you and how it's defeating, quit looking to the Middle East. Oh, when's the Antichrist coming? How old are you? That's how long he's been here for you. How long you've been on this earth? That's how long the spirit of Antichrist does already work. Don't be looking for Saddam's. He moved in on you and you didn't even know it. He talks to you and you don't even know it. Recognize this fool. Sunday, we're going to wind this thing up. And Lord willing, I'm going to do a Christmas message on Sunday. I think that's the way it's starting to look. We'll see. It'll be the first in history that we do a topical message. We'll see. Brother Weldon, would you close the service in prayer?